This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Feeling the aftermath of the Cavs and Indiana. I didn't get a chance to hear any of your thoughts on the game yesterday, too, either, Jeff. Just can you give me your...
You're going to make me rehash the whole thing?
No, I don't want you to rehash
the
whole thing.
Come
on, man. I listened to the game on the radio in the end, very end of the game. I had to listen to the game on the radio. And I'm listening to Jim Jones, and like I trust him big time. And he's describing a game to me, and I texted both of you guys at the end of it, like, it was WWE. Like, what are the refs watching? What's going on here? And then when I had a chance to get home, I was like, I get it. A part of this is playoff basketball, and when things happen, and you get to the end of it. But, you know, even just the Halliburton free throw, I mean, the ball was in the air, and he had a full foot inside the paint. Like, how does that not get called? And then you turn around, and you get the two-minute report, which does anyone think these are a waste of time?
Yep.
I mean, they're just aggravating. They're
yes,
absolutely
do.
Aggravating. The two-minute report came back and said the league identified two plays in the final minute that should have been nullified and replaced with jump balls at midcourt, calling them incorrect no calls. Should they go back and replay the last minute?
Also had one against Donovan where the Pacers got the shaft.
And to be honest with you, listening to the game, Jim had that. Jim said that. He's like, oh, Donovan got away with one there.
What about missed calls in the previous 46 minutes that led to points for one team or another?
Yeah, I'll never argue this because this is my argument in the national championship game when Ohio State beat Miami. Like, people get all bent out of shape and say there was a bad call against the Buckeyes. I'm like, well, wasn't Ohio State supposed to lose that game by like 28?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to worry about one play at the end of the game. So, but I mean, that's a pretty bad miss. That free throw violation was a bad miss. I mean, he was in the... I mean, his foot is completely down inside the paint, and the ball is still in the air on its way to the hoop.
And this goes back to the NBA two-minute thing, and it brings up this statement. So what? Right? So what? You missed a call. Great. You're going to go back and replay it? Nope. So it's done. Bring on game three. I hate to be so, you know, blunt about it, but... So what? I don't. Why the NBA does that, I don't know. Because a call that was made in the first quarter could have been a five-point swing in a game, and that could have been the deciding factor. So, you know, if they think it's completely, you know, just being clear about everything, well, all it does is muddy the waters.
Well, is it? But is the transparency that they're trying to portray here by coming back and saying, yep, we found two plays in the final minute of the game that should have been nullified and replaced with jump balls at midcourt? Does that, are they showing clarity for who? The bettors? Their relationship with whoever they have with the betting outlets?
Got
I mean,
me.
Is that...
You'd have to ask them.
I have
no idea.
I
think it's a silly thing to do.
To me, it smells like it's about saying, hey, there's nothing dirty about our game. We're going to tell you, when something's wrong, we're going to tell you. But if you don't correct it, who cares if you tell us?
Right.
And when's the last time we had a protest overturned in any game, in any sport? Can you remember? I don't ever remember a protest of a game where it ever came back and the league goes, you know what? That was wrong. We got to come back and replay it. It just doesn't happen. So they've got to move on and move forward. I don't know. It just felt like to me, and I watched most of it, like 90-some percent of the game, that it just they were put to a task of a game where they were missing two All-Stars, and the challenge was going to be unbelievably hard. They got out to big leads, and I kept talking to the people that were around me going, all right, it's still the NBA, and you know, as much as I want to believe a 20-point lead is insurmountable, it's not. And let's not forget what Indiana did in the last game against Milwaukee to get here. They know what they're doing, and they know how to just kind of work their way back in this thing. And you know, even on TV, it was like, hey, look at this, this is an important basket at the end of the third quarter because it keeps Indiana hanging around, and that's exactly what happened. And then Cavs took some really stupid shots and forced some plays that I'm still shaking my head on, and Mitchell was killing it, but you knew eventually he might run out of gas. When you're bucking towards a 50-point night, you know, you're going to run out of gas. It's a lot of energy. And it, you know, all those times you end up on the floor because you're just spent, you're asking for something crazy to happen at the end of the game, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, can they come back from this? And I know you're going to say, well, of course they can come back from this, but
unlikely.
It's devastating. What is it, 7% chance, less than an 8% chance?
It's been done five times before. In fact, there's a gentleman named Sam Amico who's going to join us at 11:20 who has a great story on his HoopsWire website about that.
About teams that have been able to come back?
Mm-hmm. Down 2-0 after losing the first two games at home. It's been done five times.
Hmm. And that's just two games at home, though. Five times to come back. Teams have come back from before.
The first two games at home.
But if you lose two on the road, that's not the end of the world. Is that what you, I thought I read it was like 30
something. I'm not saying one way
something.
Or the other. You lose two in a row anywhere, it's not good.
No.
But, you know, Cavs did that back when they beat the Pistons in 07. Lost the first two games, won four straight.
Those games were at home? I can't remember. They are one of the five teams that I didn't
No, oh. I just said they lost the first two in Detroit and then came back and won four straight.
And that, I mean, that was the series of LeBron
dragging Sasha Pavlovich and everybody else to the finals.
1.0, yeah. I mean, what are they? I got to believe the health is the step first step in trying to bring this thing back to Cleveland. Are we concerned about a sweep? Do you think they're going to get swept?
No, I didn't say that.
I'm asking
you
that.
You said, am I concerned?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be? Right? You're dinged up and you're going on the road. And Indiana's a very good basketball team. Nobody wanted to believe that when I told everybody that before the series started.
Okay, take a bow, man.
No, I'm not taking a bow. Yeah. It's just, I mean, take a look around the NBA. NBA teams are really, there are 3, 4, 5 in every conference that are really pretty good. People don't want to realize that.
The harder part is the reality that the regular season probably doesn't mean anywhere near what you think it might or you want it to mean. That's the hard part for me. Because when I look at this and I look at what a great, successful, fun team it was to watch during the regular season, and now you're in this other mode where referees swallow their whistle on a lot of stuff. It's extremely physical. You know, you may not get the breaks you got during the regular season. You may get a ton of breaks depending on who the player is. I'm not saying the politics of the game kind of seem to get into it a little bit, but I do think it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, you want the refs to let them play. You want a game to be decided by the players on the floor and not by the referees. At least that's the way when I watch a game, that's it. And so when people say the referees are swallowing their whistle in the first two games, I can't, doesn't really bother me. I want teams to play. I don't want someone to get punched in the chest when they're in the air trying to, you know, score. But by the same token, if there's minor contact, let it go. Just let them play because that's what I want to see. And maybe I'm just being selfish, but I also think that it's a difficult pill to swallow when you're down 0-2 and you're like, well, why do they suddenly call the game differently when we get to the playoffs? Are they just not calling the game?
I don't think it's that drastically different.
I don't think it's anywhere near what it was when we were younger.
Not at all.
When we were younger, I just felt like...
It was a war.
Yeah, and it was like you could pretty much get away with anything you wanted to as long as no one bled.
Right. Is it a little more physical right now? Seems to be, yep.
I know, but going, I mean, just looking at this whole thing and then having the 2-minute report come out, like, it just, the 2-minute report to me is just aggravating. Oh, great. Oh, you're telling me that was a line violation? Oh, thanks, man. I feel so much better about being down 0-2 when you're missing two All-Stars and you don't know if you're going to be missing these three guys going into game three, where you've got to win games on the road in the NBA, although I guess Indiana proved that you can win games on the road. It's not a big deal. Why has it been so? Why has it been so hard for these home teams to win? It just seems weird.
Because teams in the NBA are good.
Yeah, I get that, but there's no. I mean, don't you think it's weird? We've had one home win in the playoffs in this round, right? Oklahoma City. Was that last night? I'm not crazy. Yes.
Yeah. The Golden State series, we haven't had one yet, right?
Right.
Well, teams are good. I don't mean to sound so simple about it, but people don't understand teams in the NBA can really play. And some teams don't spend the regular season looking to have the best regular season record. Now, that might be a fault of the NBA, but they tend to try and get their team ready for the playoffs.
I don't know. We sit here. We try to figure this thing out. You've got, you know, three guys hurt. You're down 0-2. You got your 2-minute report that should probably make you feel better that maybe they should have won, but it doesn't matter. And then I hate it
because it doesn't say anything about the other 46 minutes when perhaps, you know, the one team received five calls that cost the other team 10 points. They should just do away with it.
Should plays be replayed regardless if you've got the timeout in the final 2 minutes? We do it in other sports. Should they just automatically be replayed?
That's what I make want. Sure you get I want the final 2 minutes to take 35 minutes instead of the 30 that it takes now.
Why would we be in a hurry to get things right? Who cares if it takes 35 minutes? What is that? I mean, so what else are we doing? And if you're there,
going to sleep.
Well, then why are you watching the game in the first place if you're worried about going to sleep? Yeah. Oh, man, I can't get them another.
Dishes.
They can't have another minute and a half to look at that thing. I mean, I've got some serious sleeping to do. Why are they keeping me up at night? It's a school night. Don't they know that, NBA?
I know you have the technology. You can't just continually stop games and review everything that happened. Because like in football, there's holding on every play in football. There's a foul on every possession in basketball. Everyone. Somebody did something to somebody that could be called a foul. So, I mean, how much are we going to do? Are we just going to let the referees do their jobs? I'll let the referees do their jobs.
I'd like to see them do their jobs too, but, I mean, if we're missing major calls in the final 2 minutes of a game, they're not doing their job.
It's not just in the final 2 minutes. It's all game long.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, everyone knows that the final 2 minutes of any game are under the microscope, and we sit here and talk about them. I don't disagree with anything you're saying about a foul in the first minute of the game being any less important than the last minute of the game. So 216-474-0092, your thoughts on where we're going with this thing. Sam Amico is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.